You listen to Pastor Paul and every word he's got to say, why would a demon do that? Why? Perhaps for you to gain their acceptance. Then when I'm gone and the demon is still around, see, now you're trusting in a demon, you see. And demons, many times, they'll give you 5 good eggs and 1 rotten egg, right? There's a good egg, there's a good egg, there's a good egg. All right, Jesus, there's a bad egg. You got to watch out. No deception. I mean, it's always subtle like that. Now, perhaps there's another explanation for why this demon told everyone to listen to the Apostle Paul. And that explanation is this. God rules. God rules. Now remember when Jesus ran into a demon named Legion. And remember what happened. Let me read it to you. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he, Jesus, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him from the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. As always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out. Can't you just hear this demon? No shackles can hold him. He's crying out, naked, cutting himself with stones. Verse 6. Now, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. That, I think, is the answer here that we have. So ultimately, this is what demons do, you see. These demons, listen to me here today. Demons submit to authority, by golly. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Demons submit to authority. Don't ever forget that. This is what demons do. Also, they are invisible cowards. I'll pay for that later. But it's true, nevertheless. Truth is still truth, no matter how much I suffer for it. Shine the light of truth on them, and to use one of Captain Jim Ross's favorite sayings, they'll scatter like a sprayed roach. They can't stand the light. They can't stand the light. This demon said, listen to Paul, because the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ rules in this world. That's what I believe happened here. So that's my new take on this text. Demons tell the truth because Jesus is King. We're here to worship him today. King David wrote, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. All right, now let's follow this text. Let's see what happened here in this story. Truthful account. Verse 16. Now, as it happened, as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of Python met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. I think some translations have soothsayings. Is that right? Is that there, Sherry? Soothsaying. What's a soothsayer, right? Soothing cup of tea when you got a scratchy old throat, right? Soothsaying. That's when you're telling someone what they want to hear. Soothsaying. I'm going to make you feel all good by tickling your ear with something that you want to hear. That's what a soothsayer, they're going to comfort and soothe you by a bunch of lies out of the pit of hell. Look around here today. Soothsaying. Verse 17, now this girl followed Paul and us, and she cried out, saying, these men are servants of El Elyon, most high God, who proclaimed us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit. Notice he didn't say it to the woman. He said it to the spirit. Like when Jesus said to supposedly Judas, "What you do, do quickly." He wasn't talking to Judas. He was talking to Satan. Here he's turning again and he says to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Now when her master saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." So then the multitudes rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We just saw this with Peter a few weeks ago, didn't we? Verse 24, "To having received such a charge, he put him into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." So here they are, in jail for doing good, in jail because they're misunderstood, in jail because they cast a demon out of somebody, in jail because people to this day despise the truth. Church, this is an evil world that we live in. This is an evil world. And we're going to discover again that just like Peter, there's no prison in the world that can thwart the plan of God or prevent the child of God from carrying out their marching orders. Verse 25, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them." Boy, don't let all this slip by now. This verse is pregnant. Verse 22 informs us, these two are beaten. They're beaten with rods. They're whipped with many stripes and chained up like the prisoners that they were. I mean, imagine the audacity of telling people that God loves them. That can get anybody killed, right? Also notice here that the other prisoners were watching and listening to all of this. They're watching the Christians to see how they would respond to adversity. They were watching the Christians to see if they respond the same way as the unbeliever does when he's facing adversity. And you know what, church? They're watching you as well. They're watching you to see how you respond to adversity. How do you handle adversity when it comes your way? Unbelievers are watching. You know, I'll tell you what, your children are watching you too. They're watching you to see how you respond. Are you going to respond the same way as this evil world does and cut bait and run? Or are you going to trust God when you're going through a trial in your life? They're watching you. Not only are the unbelievers, your kids and your grandchildren are watching you as well. How are you going to respond to all this? Now, here was their response, which I encourage you to practice. They prayed and they sang hymns. They didn't sing "In a God of Davida." They sang hymns, hymns to God. Like a mighty fortress is
our God, a bulwark never failing.
Let's try that one, right? Or how about this? Sing this when you're beaten, whipped up in prison for telling someone God loves them. How about, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Right?
Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Why don't you try that next time you're in jail? For telling someone that God loves them. Don't forget, that was the crime. And that's the crime over all of humanity today. That's the message that God Jesus killed. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. When you find yourself in this kind of trial, in this kind of trouble, and in this kind of adversity, those are the two things we can learn from the Word of God with how to respond. Pray and sing hymns to God. And when you respond like that, you can watch God move on your behalf, just like we're going to see right here in verse 26. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. But Paul calls out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." So then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Indeed, all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Lean not on your own understanding. Praise him when you're going through something you don't understand and leave the results up to God." Now, Peter would end up being crucified upside down on the cross. But I'll tell you what, no demon in hell prevented him from fulfilling his ministry. And it's the same thing with you as well. So, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So, as a result of their faith, as a result of their witness, as a result to their response to adversity, and as a result of the power of God, the jailer now wanted what these guys had. An inner peace that no government can take from you and couldn't be whipped out of them and was not taxable. I've coined a new phrase. Let's call this non-taxable income. No government can touch it. That's what these guys had, an inner peace that God was for them. Do you have that today? Do you have that? Write down this truth and bring it with you. It's Psalm 56, verse 9. It says this, "When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because God is for me." God is on your side. Let that be your strength here today. Things are calm and easy and quiet here in this country, but that could change on a dime any day at any time. So the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? Here comes the answer, and the answer is just, it's just one sentence, and it's as simple as that. You don't have to put money in the offering plate. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to jump through any hoop. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to run a 3-minute mile. The answer is just, it's just one sentence. What must I do to have eternal life and be saved? Answer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, washed their stripes. Immediately him and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And that was Paul's memorable first trip to Philippi. I guess we could say, all in a day's work, right? Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.